Let's pray together again. Bow your heads with me. Oh, my Father in heaven, I pray, dear Lord, that you would glorify your name through the proclamation of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Oh, yeah, let's go ahead and do our motto, okay? If it's in the Bible, we want it. If it's not in the Bible, we don't want it. If it's in the Bible, we want it. If it's not in the Bible, we don't want it. My message this morning is fight for your family. And we're going to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Matter of fact, we'll look at 29, the last couple of verses. David and his soldiers were seeking to have an alliance with the Philistines, and eventually they would reject David and say, no, thank you. And in verse 10 of chapter 29, 1 Samuel 29, verse 10, now therefore rise early in the morning with your master's servants who have come to you, and as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose early and departed in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Can you imagine this? This intense sorrow and grief mixed with anger that David's soldiers felt. The men and David, the men, the fathers, had left the families unprotected. And so I can picture in my mind, I can picture David along with his soldiers, his comrades. I can picture him along with his array of mighty men, military men, courageous, ready to go into a fight. I can picture them cresting a hill and seeing the cloud of smoke swirling over the decimated city of Ziklag. I can see them, and I can see etched in their countenance hurt, shock. And so they came there, and the Bible says that they wept. Then David, verse 4, and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and what? Wept until they had no more power to weep. They were weeping because their precious wives and mothers and children, sons and daughters and children, were all away, taken captive. Unspeakable, unspeakable, horrible slavery would be their lives and all that would go along with that. Can you imagine the sorrow that animated these soldiers? So, I mean, just think about that. This was presumption on the part of these fathers. They were ready to leave their family unguarded, unprotected. And the consequences were very dire. So I think about the fathers of today. Our world is a world that hurts, that has broken hearts because the fathers have forsaken their families. Now I know, if there's one thing I know, that we are a fatherless generation. Most women and men that are incarcerated, that are in prison, you do a little research and you find out the father wasn't there. Our world seems to be under a curse because the fathers leave the wives and the children. Now, I do believe, however, that sometimes it's not their fault. I recognize that. But you do the homework and you study and you will see that ours is a world that experiences a father fracture. That's what is being experienced. And so, but there's hope. There's hope. Let's keep reading there. Verse 5. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David, so in other words, the situation looked completely hopeless that they would ever be reunited and their family would ever be back together again. So now they wondered, should we fight for our family? And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of doing what to him? Stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, that is, bitter. Every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Sometimes you just have to encourage yourself when all around you is nothing but discouragement and people pointing the blame to you. Sometimes you just have to strengthen your own heart regardless of what's going on all around you. So I would say this, fathers, strengthen yourself in the Lord, no matter how discouraging it may become in the family. Fight for your family. And so David just made up his mind. I'm not going to give in to despair. I'm not going to give in to depression. I'm not going to give in to discouragement. It's time to fight for my family. And so the Bible says here, then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, bring the ephod here to me. Remember, that's something associated with the sanctuary. The priest was to wear this. Bring the ephod to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord. All right, first thing he does, he encourages himself. Second thing he does, he said, bring me the ephod. Third thing along with that, he asks God in earnest petition, in earnest prayer. He asks God as he's engaged in intercessory prayer for his family. He asks God, what do I do to restore my family? So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. I like stories with a happy ending. How about you? So this absolute deplorable circumstance, this absolute horror that they were, the atrocities that certainly their family was experiencing, led them to want to go and put forth a mighty fight, engage in battle to win back their family. And so I want you to think about that. Their family was under attack. Is that not today? And the family was attacked because the fathers, I repeat, were not there. So my question, fathers, to you is, are you there? Now, maybe you've gone through a divorce, but you can still be there because you could be praying for your loved ones. You can be phone calling them, texting them, FaceTime, whatever. There are different ways to keep in touch with your family. So I say this to the fathers and the grandfathers. Don't forsake your family. No matter what you've gone through, divorce or whatever, there's no excuse. You can still. Now, sometimes people tell me, well, Mark, it's too late. My kids are all grown. Too late. Are they still breathing? Then there's hope. And you need to do your part, fathers. And so pursue. You're going to recover all. What encouragement that is. Nothing around David was encouraging. But the Lord, so he turned to the Lord in his distress. Have you read the book of Psalms? The book of Psalms, no wonder Jesus said that David was a man after his own heart, because in the book of Psalms, talk about highs and lows, talk about distresses, talk about heartaches, talk about attacks. David wrote about it. David prayed about it. David wrote songs about it. Really, can I tell you this plainly? David was faithful with his prayer journal, because you look at the book of Psalms, it's David's prayer journal, and David believed in having good music. Amen. And you remember, for example, that it was David that played the harp for King Saul when King Saul was really possessed by the enemy and was feeling despair. And David played the harp for him, and the evil spirit left as David played. The power the power of music, amen, such as we've been having night by night. So they were promised, you're going to recover everything. Can you imagine? That was a word from the Lord. You know, talk about feeling strengthened to go into battle. God telling him, David, you're going to recover all. So I say this to dads, can't you claim this? Can't you have faith, dad and mom, to fight for your family? Would you agree it's worth it? It's worth it. And so David went, verse 9, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook of Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. So sometimes fighting for our family can be exhausting, but never give up. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk water for 3 days and three nights. Then David said to him, to whom do you belong, and where are you from? And he said, I am a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite. My master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion. So notice he was involved in the invasion. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Kerethites in the territory which belongs to Judah, and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. So he's saying, yes, I participated in this, but David had mercy upon him, even though he was partially to blame for attacking the family. So I would say this, that if your family has been attacked by different ones, don't cherish bitterness. Be willing to forgive and move on. Everybody say, move on. Amen. Sometimes you want to fight for your family, you just have to move on, not in bitterness. And David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? So he said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. And when he had brought him down, there they were, spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, neither small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Come on, shout amen to that. Amen. I mean, this is an encouraging story. Why is this in the Bible? Why? What in 2023, what can we take? What's the takeaway? What's the upshot of this? What is God saying to you and your family about fighting for your family? You know, when I chose this topic of fight for your family, I didn't realize that it was Mother's Day weekend. So I know the timing is perfect. How many agree? God has his perfect timing for every message. Amen. So I want you to know that we don't stumble up here with a message. We come prayed up, studied up, ready to deliver morning manna. And so this is good news. Take your Bible and turn with me to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Oh, I want you to be encouraged, everybody. Be encouraged. Isaiah 49. 24 and 25. Isaiah 49, 24 and 25. Shall the prey, Isaiah 49, verses 24, 25. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of the righteous be delivered? But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible be delivered. For I will contend with him who contends with you. And what, everybody? I will save your children. Say it again. I will save your children. That would include grandchildren. This is the kind of language we must have in our family. This is what we can pray for. This, we must be engaged in doing this faithfully to fight for a family. So what is it saying here? He will contend with him that contends with us. In other words, he will fight with the one who's fighting against our family. And I would say this to the mothers and the fathers, don't fight with each other, fight for each other. And so fight the good fight of faith. The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. Now I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Exodus. We're going to Exodus about the Passover. What can we learn from the Passover in regard to the family, in regard to fathers and mothers working for their families, fighting for their family? We're looking now at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. The Bible says, now the blood, this is Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, Passover. And the plague shall not be on you or your family, of course, to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So what were they to do? They were to slay a lamb and take the blood and put it on the doorposts and on different parts of the house there. They were to do this, and that's what the Bible had said. Look at verse 22. And you should take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood. This is the base in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door and his house until morning. So the fathers and the mothers were to make sure that their children were staying in the house. Can I say this? Fathers and mothers, make sure your children are in the house. What does that mean? Make sure your children are protected. Make sure your children are guarded by you as much as possible. And keep your family unit together. This is how, because you know what? The firstborn of families were going to be taken unless the blood was on the house. So I can guarantee you, those fathers made sure this work was done. The fathers made sure that the Passover lamb blood was applied. Do you hear that? The blood was applied. The blood of Jesus doesn't save you unless you apply it to your heart and your family. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ that God will have mercy upon your children. Can I say this? The actions of the fathers and mothers affect the dispositions, the personality, the behavior of their children. But I would also say this, that you can do your very best for your children, and it doesn't mean that they're going to follow what you've been teaching them. And that's where you have to say, Lord, help me never, ever, ever, ever to give up fighting for my children. Amen? So, verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel, that is on the top of the door, okay, the cross piece on top of the door, and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses. Do you see that? Come into your houses to strike you. And so, and then look at verse 26. And it shall be when your children say to you or ask you, what do you mean by this service? In other words, when your children ask about what happened, this should be memorable. This should be noteworthy. This should be something that is never forgotten, because God wanted the children of Israel on an annual basis to remember the Exodus. And we're even reading from what book? Exodus. And I want you to notice now Exodus 14. Exodus 14. Then ultimately the children of Israel were led into the promised land. But how did that happen? Look at verse 13, chapter 14, about the Red Sea crossing. Chapter 14, verse 13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation or the deliverance of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will do what, everybody? Fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Hallelujah to the Lamb. That's what we are to do. Don't dwell on the past mistakes that you've made. You know what's very, very hard? I can tell you for this, Dad. What's most difficult is not when I come under attack by people. That's nothing in comparison with having to deal with my own faults as a father. Now, don't get me wrong. I've loved my children every day of my life. I've placed my family number one. You know, I seek to win the world for Christ, so to speak, but my family is number one. And it hurts. And sometimes I've cried at night on my pillow thinking about different mistakes I made during the day or whatever in any particular day. Because you know what? Parenting is the greatest work that can be done. There's no higher position than a mother and a father. There's no more exalted position to be in. After all, we pray to our Father in heaven. How many agree? He's the ultimate parent, and he knows how to help parents. Amen? And so God was telling the children of Israel, go forward. Don't dwell on the past. Just go forward. Don't delay. Don't hold back. Don't have any compromise. Just move forward. Go forward. Time is of the essence. This was an urgent message. Go forward. It's time to go free. It's time to go into the promised land. It's time to go through the Red Sea. Time to go forward. Why? Because the Lord said, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for your family. I'll fight for the fathers. I'll fight for the mothers. I'll fight for you. Nobody was able to be safe from the Egyptians except they followed what God said. Go forward. Can you imagine the Red Sea opening up for the children of Israel and closing on the Egyptians? Would you agree? That is absolutely a dramatic story. And that's in the Bible for good reason, so that we would know God is the one that makes the way for fathers and mothers to save their family, to save their children. And so I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. You remember that the city of Jerusalem was in ruins, and Nehemiah was led by God with the blessing of political leaders, a king, to help Nehemiah and his comrades and his men to build up the city. And it would be built very, very quickly, but there were a lot of discouragements that came to them and a lot of attacks of the enemy as they were trying to rebuild the city. In other words, they were trying to rebuild their life and to help their families to work for God. And so notice here, verse 19, Nehemiah 4, verse 19. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us. Our God will fight for us. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Amen. I am so glad. What gives me encouragement when I pray for Caleb and Jordan, when I pray for them, what gives me encouragement is Jesus is fighting for our family, for our children. I praise God for that. Because come on now, the greatest burdens, if you're a parent, the greatest burdens we bear is for our children. Is that correct? Yes or no? The greatest burden we bear if we have grandchildren is for our children and our grandchildren or great-grandchildren, depending on the circumstance there. And so I'm thankful that God said, I will fight. Our God, Nehemiah said, will fight for us. Why is that in the Bible? That we would know we're not alone. We're not alone. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 56, it says, God is for me. In Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? 1 John 4:4, the Bible makes it very clear, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. How many are thankful for promises to guard your family? Promises to guard your marriage. Well, you know, let's think about some of the different attacks that we come under. I just made a little list here. The devil seeks to divide and conquer. That's how he goes. That's his strategy. That's his goal. At the end of the day, you look back and you have to ask, Lord, have I allowed division between me and my wife, me and my husband? Have we allowed division in the home and the fallout of that? And so we got to be careful to not let division come in the family if we can avoid it. Having said that, sometimes the children may choose a way contrary. And you don't want that division, but you can't force it. All you can do is pray and work. Pray and work. Is that true, everybody? Another way the devil will attack is through associations. And I'll say this to the young people, guard your associations. But I also say this to fathers and mothers, guard your associations. And that would include family. There might be family members that you have, extended family, that you need to maybe sometimes distance yourself from in terms of close associations if you know they're having a bad influence on your children. Life can get messy, is that true? It gets really messy sometimes. And so I don't have all the answers, but God does. Amen? And so another way the devil attacks is through worldly amusements and worldly pleasures. That simply is going to leave a person empty. Worldly pleasures are distractions of the enemy. And so we got to help our children and our whole family to know there is a better life for those who are going to be coming out from the world. A matter of fact, let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I've come here to say some things. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 6 verses 17 and 18. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. By the way, do you know what the word sanctify means? Set apart. Set apart. That's what we are to be. We are to be the remnant set apart from the world. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So the point is this, is that God says to the fathers and the mothers and the children, be separate from the world. So how does the devil attack? Worldliness, worldly pleasures, drifting from God, compromises with the world. We must be willing to be distinct. There must be a contrast between God's remnant people and the world. We don't want to act like them, look like them, talk like them, go to the same movies, listen to the same music. How many agree? There must be a difference. We must come out from the world and be separate. Amen? Excuse me. So God is saying, if you will come out from the world, you'll be my sons and daughters. Anybody interested in that? And so if you're willing to come and be separate, if you're willing to leave the world behind, that's kind of like leaving the Egyptians behind, amen, going to a better life. God wants a better life for us. The Bible says, John 10:10, that the devil comes, Jesus said, to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, John 10, verse 10. You recognize good news today? So I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 46. This is a father-son story. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman, that is a royal official, whose son was sick at Capernaum. But this was a serious sickness, life-threatening. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him or pleaded with him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So this distressed father, with a sense of urgency and with quickened step, made his way to Jesus and pleaded with Jesus to come to his house to heal him. Now what Jesus did next is very, very noteworthy. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." He was telling the Father, "You're not going to believe unless I work this miracle." And basically what Jesus is saying, you should trust in me as your Lord and Savior no matter what you see. Amen. The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies!" Exclamation mark. So here this father pleaded with Jesus, "Please come down. My son is dying." This distressed father was praying for his son. How about you, fathers? How about you, mothers? Are you spending time on your knees and on prayer walks, whatever the case may be? Are you imploring God, pleading with God to heal the spiritual disorders of your children, to protect your children, to hover over your children? Aren't you thankful that your children have a guardian angel? And so notice what happened. The story gets more intriguing. The nobleman said to him, this verse in 49, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. Now watch that. What's going on there? What's that dynamic? Jesus is refusing to work the miracle in the way that he wanted it to be worked. But Jesus would work the miracle, but the Father had to cooperate with the miracle, and it would take faith. So I want to say this, dads, have faith. It'll benefit your children. Mothers, have faith. It'll benefit your children. Everybody say, hey, look to your neighbor and say, have faith. Have faith. You got to have faith. If you're praying for your children, you've got to have faith that God is working on your children. And so notice here, the Bible says here, go your way. You mean to tell me he was going empty-handed in a way? Yes. But that father took something home with him. Took the words of Jesus, the promise of Jesus, and he wouldn't let go of that promise. That moment when Jesus said that, the father immediately, this distressed father, took hold of Jesus' words, and he believed that it would be fulfilled. Oh, if we would take hold of the promises of God, thousands of promises in the Bible, to get our attention fixed on the promises rather than our adversity, rather than our troubles. Get our eyes on the promises of God. I urge you, read the book of Psalms. Powerful promises there as well. And so notice, go your way, your son lives. So he went his way. Now watch this. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Do you think the father was surprised? No way. He knew this happened because Jesus said so. Jesus said so. He had faith in what Jesus said. Then he inquired of them, watch this, he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." Hallelujah to the Lamb. So I want you to notice here, your son lives. What time did it happen? Now that's an interesting question to ask. So there would be no gradual overcoming of the fever. It was sudden. It was instant. And they made a note of it. Wow-wee. Time stood still. They knew exactly when it was that it was healed because it was so dramatic. It was so fantastic. It was so amazing and incredible. Just an amazing miracle. What time did it happen? Seventh hour. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." He himself believed, and his whole household. Fathers, when you have faith, your whole household is going to be blessed. Mothers, when you have faith, your whole family is going to be blessed. Protect your family with faith. Let your family be walled in by the promises of God. How many are thankful that we can be defended by the promises of God? I keep my Bible by my bedside, sometimes even on my bed when I sleep at night, because I realize in my attacks, I realize from the oppression of the enemy, I realize I must depend on a thus saith the Lord. So I will keep my Bible by my bedside, or sometimes I'll sleep with my Bible right there. Now, why do I share that with you? My Bible is my companion. My Bible is God's voice speaking to me. I urge you, fathers, get out your Bible, highlight it, underline it, memorize it, share it, eat it, drink it, love it. Love the Word of God. This is what the family needs to have, is a love for the Word of God. Don't let the Bible be on the coffee table collecting dust. They say if there's dust on your Bible, it means you're dirty on the inside. Don't let dust build on your Bible. I want you to take your Bible now and turn with me to Malachi. This was our scripture reading. Let's go to it now. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6. Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi 4, 5 and 6. All right, here it is. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will, here comes the miracle language, and he will turn, that's transform, he will turn or convert the hearts of the fathers to who? To the children. And the hearts of the children to their who? To the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. I want you to notice here, this is a promise and a prophecy that in the last days, God's going to be working in a very powerful, singular way to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the fathers to the children. Is this not a glorious, amazing promise and prophecy? Isn't this what we want God to do? Because being a good father or a good mother is not just a position you have, but it's an influence you seek to have, because you can't force your children to give their heart to you. Amen? So you must seek to win their hearts, creating an atmosphere of love. Let me tell you some of the other ways the devil is attacking. To have disobedient children. Gossip. He'll attack our finances and the stress that would go with that. He attacks our health. He attacks a marriage and have marriage conflict. Attacks with porn, pornography. Attacks with spiritual defeats, lack of self-control, speaking unkind words, impatient words, unguarded, hasty speech. So the devil attacks us left and right. But here's what God wants to do. You might want to make a note. The closer you come to Jesus, the closer you come to family members, generally speaking. Now, it's true in Matthew 10, it says sometimes our enemies are those in our own household. But nevertheless, we are to be patient for our loved ones. And if a son or daughter become a prodigal, what was the attitude of the father? To love them. Now, he chose to go astray, but then he had a homecoming. Can you say amen? A prodigal. And I know what I'm talking about, because I was the prodigal kid who came home. And so, closer to Jesus, closer to each other, and pray for each other. Let your children hear you pray. Pray with them and for them. And very, very important, Elijah rebuilt the altar of sacrifice that had been knocked down. So have family worship. Have family worship every single day. Have family worship. Let it be seen that all heaven can see that, and that evil one can see that family worship is not something you do once in a while. It's top priority. Amen. Then be kind to each other. Be kind to each other. Be kind in the words that you speak. Be forgiving. Be patient. Be gentle. You know, the Bible says love is patient. That's what we want for one another, is a patient love. Be gentle in your tones a soft answer turns away wrath. The power, it's amazing in terms of communication. It's amazing the power of the tone and the power of physical gestures or body language and so forth that speak volumes. But think about it, the power of a soft, subdued, gentle, tender tone. I want to do that always. And another thing, smile. And sometimes a smile will cost you. Sometimes you may not feel like smiling because your children did something against your wishes, or you made a mistake. Smile, 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 no matter what, smile. And, you know, as rain is coming down, I believe the Lord wants to rain joy and blessings on our homes. Can you say amen? So be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, go with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. I've come here to say some things from God's word. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents when you feel like it. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Is that what it says? Come on, young people. What does this mean? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Amen. This is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, here we go again with fathers being called out, do not provoke your children to wrath. Why in the world is that in the Bible? Because fathers sometimes can be heavy-handed but not loving. Oh, they might know how to discipline, but they don't know how to love. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes children need discipline, but let it be done in patience and in love and tenderness and kindness. Amen? Amen. And so fathers, that's the word. Don't discourage your children. And so it would apply to mothers, of course, as well. But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So can I say this to the young people? Let your parents train you. Let your parents educate you. You know what the Bible says in Isaiah 38, verse 19? It says, the father shall make known the truth to the children. Hallelujah. Let's go now to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6. I just opened to it quickly here. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6. Fifth book in the Old Testament. All right. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them, or train your children with them, teach them diligently to your children. How do you do that? Shall talk of them. So here we go. The way you teach, you got to talk about these things. Talk about what? About loving God. Talk about what? The commandments of God. Talk about what? The word of God. Shall talk of them when? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. What is this saying? What this is saying is morning, noon, and night. Keep God as the center of your parenting and the center of you as children towards your parents. Constantly. It takes everything to serve the Lord. This is very comprehensive. It's all-encompassing. Hallelujah to the Lamb. This is powerful stuff. So what God is saying, this is what it looks like to have a godly family. This is what it looks like to be a godly father, a godly mother. This is what God wants us to do, to talk about the word of God when you rise up, when you walk by the way, when you sit down, when you go to sleep, have it on the doorpost, have it on the frontlets between your eyes. In other words, your focus is on God, and to focus on loving God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your might. This is how you fight for your family. This, God has not left us without instruction, right? God has given to us instruction. Hallelujah to the Lamb, that God would guide us what to do. Come on, haven't you sometimes felt as parents, you don't know what to do? Of course, we all go through that. It's like, Lord, what am I doing wrong? Or, Lord, what else do I need to do? God will give us guidance. And this is part of it. Aren't you glad you can search the Bible? Lord, help me to be the dad you want me to be. Help me to be the mom you want me to be, the grandmother, the grandfather, the great-grandfather, great-grandmother, and so forth. I think that covers everybody. But so let's look up now another scripture, if you would, with me. Let's look up Exodus 20. Exodus 20 and verse 12. And I want the young people to turn to this. All right? This is Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It's right after the Sabbath commandment. And by the way, can I say this to everybody? Honor the seventh-day Sabbath. This is a holy time not to go out to the restaurants. This is not a time to go to the flea market or talk about secular pursuits and so forth. This is a holy day. Amen? So verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So this is a command, but it's also a promise. Amen? So I need to conclude, but how many want to have a good fight for your family? A good fight for your family. Look at your neighbor and say, fight for your family. So be pleasant to be around. Be pleasant to be around. Be patient. Be radiant. Be lighthearted. Be winsome. Be self-controlled. Be loving. Be an example. Amen. Be an example. Be joyful. Be cheerful. Be a good listener. Be calm. Be resilient. Amen. This is the kind of standard that we have in the Word of God. And so I would say it's getting on our knees and pleading with God. And I just want you to be of encouragement. I just want you to not look back and not give up. God wants you to be of good courage, but there's no time to waste. Let today count. Are you listening to me? Make this day to count. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it and be glad. We'll be glad and rejoice in it, according to Psalms 118, verse 24. So I'm wondering, what are you going to do with this? Think about this message all week. Would you agree? This is a message that must not be forgotten. Think about this. Young people, think about this message you've heard this week. Can you imagine? The closer we are in the family, the happier we are. So don't give up. Don't give up. Fight for your family. Let's pray. Oh, my Father in heaven, I pray that you would help this message to never be erased in our mind. I pray, dear Father in heaven, that you would help us to be of good courage, fighting for a family. Oh, Lord, thank you that when we're fighting for a family, we're doing what you want us to do, and we depend on your power. We believe in your miracles. In Jesus' name, amen.